If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good. Okay. Derek, we're here, buddy. I'm going to introduce myself. Nick Chancellor, of Anxiety Coaching, your coach for anxiety. Certified coach. So I've got a beautiful person here with me. We just had a warm-up chat. We just went everywhere with our conversation. Derek Duca, fellow friend from USA. He's going to explain where he's from and what brings you here? You're like, thank you for showing up for the podcast. This is going everywhere. This particular podcast is, we are so connected with all the host companies like iHeart, Apple, iTunes, you name it, you know, and Spotify. So buddy, welcome. So today's topic, we're talking about compassion and how does that help with anxiety. That's what we're going to talk about. But before we dive into that, right, tell me more about you.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm from the United States. What brings me here is kind of a lifelong journey of storytelling. Started out as a sports journalist back in 2013, actually. Graduated from college here. I live in Missouri, which is a Midwest United States. I graduated from Missouri State University with a broadcast journalism degree and just kind of took off on that route. And, life happens, a divorce happens, moved me down to back to Springfield after 7 years of being a sports writer. And I knew I still had that creative itch in me. So I wrestled with it for quite a while, trying to decide what I wanted to do, and settled on podcasting as it was taking off, and really just kind of self-taught myself how to put one together. And next thing I know, here I am with an anxiety coach from Australia, of all places.
Mate, that is awesome, man. You've got sports things going on there. You've got academia. You've got journalism. You've got gifts. We got gifts, and I think the world needs to hear about more about what you do. And I know that your podcast is called Scars.
Yes, Show My Scars.
Show My Scars. So far I've heard a little bit about your journey. I mean, divorce is something that's not Dan's probably one of the hardest things to go through because, you know, maybe I'm going to, sorry to say, I might, no, I'm not, but it's just life, right? That you've got stuff going on. We all got exes or we got divorces. And I had some, I'm not sure what happened in your relationship, but you got kiddies too. Somewhere down the line, you got a couple of kids.
Yeah, I've got a 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, cool. And that for a young father, that's probably the biggest challenge there, mate. It's, you know, that try and nurture all the relationship and also get on with our life and try and stay as happy as possible. I think this is one of our biggest, you know, enmeshment, whether it's financial, you know, whether it's kids involved, you know, yeah, man. Just if you want to share a little bit on that, I'm happy to hear more a bit on, you know, maybe open up on that a little bit, just sort of clear the air. And
yeah. So when you mentioned that topic, compassion, that's a big thing that I was trying to teach myself. We were talking a little bit about self-compassion, and as a writer, I do it all now. Obviously, I'm doing a podcast now, but I've done print, internet, radio, TV, journalism. In that arena, I feel like there's a lot of perfectionists. You know, we've got editors telling us that we're writing the wrong words. We've got readers telling us we're reporting on the wrong stories. We've got ourselves, you know, yapping in our own ear, internally there. My upbringing as well kind of fed into some of that, you know, negative self-talk. That is something that I have battled my entire life. I can remember journal entries as a middle schooler, you know, picking myself apart. And as I got older, and once I started seeing a therapist right after my divorce, probably within the first month, and that probably saved my life. The self-talk had reached a level of, I thought I was dying, you know. I had nothing physically wrong with me, but I felt like I was on the verge of a heart attack every day. And, you know, of course, you know, nobody's faultless in a divorce. Luckily now, I'll just let everybody know off the bat, I have a great co-parenting relationship now. We both, you know, kind of grown up and realized it was about setting up a better life in the future for our daughter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm lucky there. It didn't start off that way, but that doesn't matter. That's where we are now. But back in the early goings there, of course, you know, when you're in a divorce, you want to blame the other one. But
you just
even then, I was picking myself apart. You know, maybe we'd still be together if I didn't do this. Maybe we'd be, you know, and it started with the divorce. But then I always had, you know, chatter in the background, you know, tell me how I'm doing things wrong. But after the divorce, that all amplified. And eventually, I don't know, you know, I've been going to therapy for almost a decade now. So I can't remember sometimes which therapist told me the magic words and which ones didn't. But somebody eventually was like, man, you are on your own butt all the time. He's like, listen to the way you talk. He's like, everything that follows I or me is negative, even when you're talking with another individual. And that became, when he said that, it made so much sense. And I started paying attention to how I said everything in regards to myself. And that's that little small change in the very beginning has paid dividends since. I'm not, you know, I don't know if there is such a thing as, I actually know there's not. You know, you'll never get rid of anxiety. It's a bodily function.
Oh, no, definitely.
But you can reframe it and have a better perspective, especially maybe you probably know more about this than I do. And I don't know if this is a true thing or not, but
not totally.
Yeah. When you say something, you know, you're thinking the thought to say it and you speak it and then you hear it back. Somebody said something about when you're constantly having negative self-talk and that happens, it's like doubly worse because you're thinking it and then speaking it and then hearing it. Is that such a thing? I heard that and I've kind of lived by that a little bit.
I think I want to tell you about, for me, if I don't create the habit of being compassionate to myself, and if I cannot catch that thought in time, I've got only 6 seconds to catch that thought and twist it, move it from it. If I don't catch, it's going to just strangle me and I'm going to go to darkness. All right. But I'm so much in tune with it after so much practice that I know where it can go. And the bloody noise is loud up there. Yeah, it's loud as anything. If I don't catch that, it gets louder. And to be able to witness that and become the observer of that and to be able to reframe that, I think it's our way out of our psychic walls. Yeah, a psychic presence. And I've been practicing and I've been like yourself. I've seen a few people, right? A few counselors also in my time. Also read some beautiful books like The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer, which talks about the mind, the unconscious world. And I practice and live with that guy. It's like living in the book, because every word, I know how he does it, that those words breathe. You know, I've actually got a program called The Untethered Soul on Facebook, Australia Master Study Group. You know, we tend to huddle together and we really work as a team. And it's, you know, unfortunately, I've stopped doing it for a little while because I've got so caught up in podcasts. Like I said, so I'm on a mission to put 366 of them out there, just reaching out. But yeah, there's power in framing, cognitive, you know, cognitive therapy, you know, to be able to just sit with someone. And like, I like what you said, like, have you heard yourself saying the I word, you know? Connecting with it. And before the I am actually is an attachment word. And then we seem to mash ourselves and the voice grows louder and louder and louder. So man, I just want to say some of the words you use, lucky. I think I love the way you said lucky in earlier. I'll tell you why, because if you can say lucky in the disturbance of everything, right? There's your escape. There's that chance. There's your chance to get the bigger drill and drill through the unconscious wall. Like, imagine you've got a drilling up, and you've got a piece and a hole in that friggin' unconscious barrier, right? And you can then shove some light in that space, you know, and let it grow.
Right.
But the damn thing, once it's so smart that it repairs itself.
It does, yeah.
As soon as you take the drill out, it's got seconds before it repairs itself. We just got to keep drilling for gold, mate. That's all we're going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Keep pushing and keep making more holes so we can, you know, pierce through it. You know, let some sunshine, let the sun, you put some light in that and keep putting light in that, yeah, man, I love what you said. Self-talk is powerful. Yeah, I also, in an earlier chat, you talked about creativity, what it does for you, and you having the mind of a journalist, and then taking like, yeah, dissonance, you know, dissonance, cognitive dissonance, meaning that we hear, we see, we're just like programs, you know, and a mind is a program. It's wonderful where the ability of the brain and the way it goes somewhere over there, and you've got a dialing filing cabinet up there, and you know, we got and stuff we can practice like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and so on, that we can tap into different program. We can, you know, we can create neuroplasticity towards positive thinking. It's just practice, man. I noticed that when I'm on the phone, when I'm on the phone, I'm getting addicted to the phone. It's an addiction. It's creating that barrier, and I'm flicking, I'm just doing nothing, but like my mind is just consuming so much shit, so much.
Yes.
You know, most of it's good, this research, but my soul is just like flicking, that's nonsense. And then and that's all I do sometimes, which is a real trap, you know.
Yes, I caught that very early on. You know, I'm in that generation where, you know, I remember just ever so briefly the world before internet. Well, I mean, it was there, but for surprisingly, in a lot of places in America, like I recently just got broadband internet where I live. There are some very weird, you know, despite the fact I live near the third largest city in this state that I live in. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I remember being bored. You know, I remember I just came from a doctor's office and I was the only one that was sitting in a chair looking anywhere. Everybody else had that phone in front of them. And it's, you know, when they first came to be, you know, it was wonderful. I couldn't believe that such a technology, you know, exists. That I could carry the internet in my pocket wherever I went. I could add, you know, if I got hungry, I could just search, you know, what am I feeling? Pizza? Where's the closest pizza to me? Who's the best pizza near me? It is extremely convenient. However, I do, you know, I'm one of those doomsayers, you know, the end is near because, you know, everybody, you know, I feel like at this point in my life, I know like two people that I can just go do something and neither one of us will have that urge to pick the phone out of our pocket. Everybody else, some reason, no matter how close we've gotten, there's always that little tinge of like social anxiety that enters when the topic has ended and nobody said anything. And within 30 seconds, a phone gets pulled out and I can't handle that. I used to, you know, I used to be one of those people, but I don't know what it is. Like once the veil got removed now, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, people don't look each other in the eye anymore. Nobody wants to understand each other. They want to be entertained. It seems like, and maybe I got a tinfoil hat on here right now, but that's how it feels. And it honestly, I think what really set it off was, you know, once I realized what truly mattered to me, and tops on that list is the people I love.
Yep.
Once I realized that, and then I saw that they like, this is the way I view it. It's not the correct way, but what causes me to, you know, feel, kind of alienated is that feeling when they put that up, I'm like, oh, they don't want to converse with me. Mm-hmm. They didn't like what I just said, or they didn't understand what I just said.
You can go back to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can catch myself sometimes, but there are some times where, you know, at some point at the end of the night, it just feels like, I had a night off here and I could have went on a hike. I could have went to the park and really grounded myself, but I chose to be here with you, and instead you want to be on your phone. And that's maybe selfish of me, but I just think we need more of that. I think that's why, you know, I don't know what it's like in Australia right now, but over here in the States, we've got a pretty big election coming up, and everybody's at everybody's throats right now. And I wonder how much of that are those little phones, you know?
Yeah. That's it there. Everyone's wants to be involved in that, and there's so much easy communication and everyone's got an opinion. And but my point when we come back to the phones, right, or anything, I know how it feels. I was without a phone for nine days, right? I had no phone. I was the only one on the street that didn't have a phone walking across the street. In the park, I'd have been silent. My mind was silent. I wasn't looking. I wasn't listening to podcasts. Like, that's one of my pet habits. But I know what it was like to be solo without the damn thing. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, at the moment, I'm doing a lot of research. I can't get off it because I need content creation. You know what it's like. You're always looking for new material. You're always trying to energize and always trying to, you know, that I'm getting a high out of being creative. So then I am creating this addiction. The point I'm thinking about our conversation is about the mind, how it, where it goes and how it forms its own opinion and forms its own bias and gets entrapped. Mm-hmm. How it gets enmeshed with everything that it sees, the consciousness. So no wonder we have anxiety, depression, all that sort of stuff, because we're just so intense with it. And if you studied anything about the Tao, Tao or the Tao, you realize that we can get caught in the extreme and gets that similarly untethered soul, by the way, that's it, that pulls in chapter 16 or 17, the midway point. And then Michael Singer goes into that deeply, how we can get caught into the anxiety of life, how we can get enmeshed and how we can get involved with it. Yeah, you're right. It does come from boredom first. Like, all right, so I'm single. I got two options. Either get on Netflix, phone, and that's it, you know, or a movie. I can take myself to the movie because I do solo. I'm okay being solo, but still sometimes there's that little tinge of boredom, you know, like, oh yeah, what's on, you know, what food can I get, like I said, from a restaurant, oh, five star here, I'm gonna go there now and get it, right? So you can see how mentally we can get so addicted. So I think a lot of people should be awakened to that these things are good for us, and also they can be freaking destructive. So yeah. But having said that, we've got to go and talk about compassion.
Yeah, there we go. We had a topic.
There's some gold there. So all right, so I think we're going to go into just sharing, like if I said to you, how do you, if you were to define compassion, what does it mean for you in short sentences or something like that, just really short form?
As short as I can get it would be accepting someone softly. Compassion for me is like, you know, you feel like I guess it would be that, yeah, just accepting someone as softly as possible, you know, not trying to judge them in any sort of way, just radical acceptance of who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can also look at it. Self-kindness is also, just starts with self-kindness, the moment we can tap into our own self and find it, like earlier you said, intruding thoughts and those negative self-talk, and catch that, twist that, reframe it. I mean, be kind, just put some kindness, whatever. And here's the deal, it's so wonderful to be able to even practice that. You're here to experience, that's it, and to be able to catch that thought and play with it. Michael Singer says, like, look, everything I'm quoting is coming from the book, it's like all in there. So he's a master of teaching anxiety and consciousness, so an awareness, awakening. And I do get lose my track. So catching yourself, just practicing living in a disturbance of it. And what we do as anxious folks, what we do is we push that thing away. I don't want it. Pushing, that's creating a habit. Like we talked about the phone. Phone's a great example how we can get sucked into the vault of it, or the gravity of it. Another thing we can look at, common humanity, right? Just in short, means that you are suffering, I'm suffering, we're here to suffer. If we study the Buddha, we'll know that we can come out of. Buddha once said, I am the way to suffering, I am out of the way of suffering. Here's the deal, he says, just take notes. He said, take notes of all the things that you desire, all the things that you crave. Take notes. You get a mortgage. Yeah, okay, cool. That's nice to have, right? As long as it's an investment, not to live in. And because what happens is you basically sold your soul to the mortgage broker, to the mortgage means for life, which means there's a lot of stress, anxiety. You got to wake up, got to do. You've got to be told what to do, like you said earlier, with your earlier days with your, you know, journalism. They say, no, you can't write like that. You can't express yourself like that. So then you had to reform and relive to their terms, where you couldn't express, you couldn't even say the F word anytime you wanted to, bomb, whatever. I'm just being funny. All the actors are doing it. just realize that we're all suffering, and but we're our own fault. And we can't be too hard on ourselves either. We're just human, like the song, don't blame me because I'm just human.
Right. Yeah. How do you, what do you do to practice catching in those thoughts a little bit faster?
Third part to this compassion thing is learning mindfulness meditation. I think learning to sit back, and that's a practice. Even Yeah, even counting backwards, you know, from 100 to zero is a skill. I used to have, I will share some of that sooner or later, but it's like just practice mindfulness of, you know, really being in the spot and finding those moments where there's moments that you can be silent in the mind. Like now, I'm not thinking of anything. But those moments need to be practiced where you can pause. And then, and then sometimes just for fun of it, play with your thoughts. You know what? When I'm looking for the thoughts, they don't come. They're scared. But I'm not, when I'm on idle time, which is the biggest struggle. Yeah. You know, when I'm idle time, mind's idling. And you know what? And I'm sucked into the idle time, sucked right into the abyss of it. Yeah. And I get sucked in and then I get enmeshed into it. I love the word enmeshment today. So I'm highlighting enmeshment. So I get enmeshed into it. And then I realize, well, then I catch myself and said, it's like watching a movie, getting so encaptured by the movie, you know, in the emotions and, you know, like all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, so mindfulness is really, really cool. Just practicing going, finding your tribe, finding your people that you can meditate with, you know, finding that if you've got a little bit of anxiety, social anxiety, I encourage to just push yourself if you can. And no one's going to judge you in that group. It's so loving. They're not your normal drum kind of people, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. They're all little gurus in their way and they're all sharing. They've all got their struggles and they appreciate. So find that tribe that's going to appreciate you, going to love you, right? It's going to validate you, going to listen to you. Man, it's going to hug you. Find that. It's rare, yeah. But it's there if you really, you know, there is a society like that. That's perfect. Everyone's got their own societies, right? Yeah. Their own particular little groups they need to find and attach to them like life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I've been trying to tell as many people as possible. When you can be yourself, your people will find you.
Yeah.
Just be as, you know, authentically you as possible, because there are other people out there just like you are hiding themselves because they see, they see the way the quote unquote majority are acting. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, stir up any shit here, but there's a, you know, I look around and I see, you know, what seems like a sea of people, you know, all just on a hamster wheel, just, you know, buying into, you know, all the marketing or, you know, all the, you know, hate speech and out there. But as soon as I started recording this podcast, I started getting messages from people going, oh my God, I didn't know you were like, you know, you had those same thoughts. You know, I just had a text thread with a friend of mine. I've been friends with this guy for probably 5-6 years now. He did not know that, you know, I have recovered from suicide ideation, you know, and he struggled with that himself. And, you know, we've had our arguments just like any other friends. We've went, you know, months without speaking to each other, you know, over an argument or whatever. And, you know, we kind of shuffle back like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I was, you know, like that. But even someone as close to me as that, I did not know, had some of the same thoughts and ideologies that I did. So yeah, that's what I would recommend. Just like you said, yeah, your tribe is out there. All you have to do is be yourself and they will find you. I promise.
Yep. There's a wonderful saying that says, vibe attracts your tribe. I'm a little bit dyslexic. Run up to that. Your vibe attracts your tribe.
In other words,
put out the frequency out there, and you put yourself out there for the experience and get out of those closed doors, push yourself a little bit, get some exposure, right?
Yeah.
And you got to put yourself out there. It's not going to happen. I mean, there's such a thing called meetup.com. It's a good start, you know, just sharing a little gold. It started from New York, very popular worldwide. That's a good way to meet people, even on a short term, you know. Once I validate what you said also, you said something about with your mate how you both got like da da da. If you're both going into a situation, you're both going into even with my, you know, people I know and who are close to me, they have got an amount of anxiety. A lot. I know a lot of people in my community, but they notice they've got something called hypervigilance, which means they just don't trust the world enough, right?
Yeah.
From trust the environment. The environment is where our conditioning comes from.
You know?
And they.
Yeah, I've struggled with that myself.
Yeah, the hypervigilance can get you. You know, one day that's when you really get the voice get loud. You start being defensive. You say things you don't want to say. And like we said, you've got that 6 to 8 seconds to fuse that bomb. It's all you have before. And it's wonderful that you can say, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, I'm glad you understand me and da-da-da-da. You know, it's normal. It's a normal thing that happens to our over hyperactive minds. So it's cool. It's cool that you've you can able to understand that and put it together properly and through compassion, right? There's some compassion in that, whatever we know what happened between you and your mate. And same goes with me, you know, in my experiences. I think we defined it quite well in that. Let's move on to like looking some of the benefits of benefits of self-compassion. What do you think some of the benefits are for us?
For myself, that hypervigilant mind quiets down.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I've started, I love what you say about mindfulness. It's something that's so simple to do, but I constantly find myself fighting against doing it. The hardest part for me, if my schedule has, I'm a very routine oriented person and my schedule has changed. And so it went from where I was meditating every morning to now mornings I'm very busy. So all of my like me time has got pushed to the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's what I just want to conk out for the night. So I've had a hard time keeping that. It's so simple. I've done it the last three nights. So I'm proud of myself. But it does. Self-massage, which I guess we're kind of getting into self-care more than self-compassion, but it's kind of the same thing, I think. In the mornings, instead of meditating right now, I have to go water my garden anyway. So I kind of do that active, I forget what they call it right now, but essentially every movement I make, I am paying super close attention to it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing everything with purpose. It's almost akin to what I imagine like matcha, the green tea,
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Japanese used to be like a ritual type thing for them. That's kind of how I water my plants in the morning. And I just kind of, and the first thing in the morning, I try to give myself something healthy to eat. Not so much sugar, wait for caffeine intake, things like that, just to make sure that I'm taking good care of myself first, because that's how you're setting up how your mind's going to work. If you feed your body junk, your brain's probably going to be saying junk in your ear.
That's it then. Yeah, I just want to recap on that, because we have, I think you mentioned you create improved emotional resilience to life, all challenges and setbacks, and just by being kind to ourselves, and we tend to bounce back a little bit quicker. So again, practicing that mindfulness meditation is just basically learning to be the observer and learning not to judge. That's what in a nutshell, that is so a simple definition of mindfulness meditation. It's just able to settle down the mind a little bit, to slow it down a little bit, you know, and finding that personal space and giving yourself that personal space. We can be over rigid. I used to be over rigid, and I knew the anxiety built in when I was super rigid. But then I went into an abstract mind, more creative. There's a lot of stuff I don't, my backlog of list to do is so huge, and I tackle the ones that come up urgently. And otherwise, I wouldn't have been doing this podcast with you. I love my creativity because it's an abstract mind. So that's not the thingy, but yeah, we got reduced anxiety and depression. A lot of studies have shown that it lowers down. That's the benefit. It lowers down the anxiety, depression, provides like a sense of safety, security, alleviates emotional distress. Other benefits will be like enhanced motivation. Like self-compassion can actually create a healthier drive to improve, and encourages growth through acceptance rather than fear and failure. Another one is like stronger relationships, right? It does that for us. As long as we can tap into our hearts, this is a vibrational center. There's so much, and we don't even talk about the energy of the heart. When you go out, you think about, and you put some light energy to us, and expand outwards to the universe. It starts, it's also nice in the Buddhists to have something called, it starts with compassion for self, compassion for people that you don't get on with, not hard, can be done, and compassion to people outwards, compassion outwards to the universe. It's a simple kindness meditation, but that's such a wonderful thing to be starting with ourselves. We get strong relationships and greater life satisfaction. I believe the more we practice compassion, it's always talked about, blast on YouTube, and it's like, yeah, why don't we do it, even though it's so easy to do, you know? That's a thing. So what is the method? What are we looking for? How do we do it? What are the strategies for it? So people have more satisfaction and more compassionate. I love Clubhouse in the States, man. I love Clubhouse. So if you know, you guys ever heard of Clubhouse, you can just have a chat with, create that community. It's available, beautiful app, right? I love being there. I get butterflies talking to people, even though I'm a fair speaker. But I'm growing so much by us, just like us, having a chat and exposing ourselves out there and sharing compassion, sharing this thing out to people, right? And beautiful, beautiful place to network, as I said, internet is also it is a great thing, but it could be a bad thing. So just nurture the things that can. So let's look at some strategies. Derek, what sort of strategy are you using to embrace or to create self-compassion? What sort of things are you using yourself?
I'm probably the wrong person to be asking this, but maybe not. Some of the tools that I used, I started off with the sticky notes on the mirrors, those types of things. I don't know. For some reason, they were pretty thin for me. So a lot of what I do for self-compassion has to do with my body. Not that I'm a bodybuilder. If I stand up here, you'll see I'm a kind of a chunky guy, but I really have taken my health into my own hands in the last year or so. So the exercise, I I try to, more than anything, it's been yoga and stretching and the mindfulness meditation, practicing some of the, have you ever seen the Wim Hof method of breathing?
Yeah.
Tried that.
Yeah.
If I'm about to have an anxiety attack, that's when I notice that seems to work. Mm-hmm. If I do it just on my own, I haven't really noticed too many benefits to it. But when I am going, when I start feeling that hypervigilance raising up, there is something scientific to that method, I feel like, because it has stopped full-blown panic attacks. But I really love my foam roller. I have one of those massage guns. I do all those types of things because once I start feeling it in my body, it pulls the thoughts, you know, calms the thoughts down. I start when I hit the mindfulness meditation part, I purposefully will think of some of the things that troubled me during the day to start. Cool. And that sounds a little counterintuitive.
No. There's something called give yourself worry time, I call it, you know, like people use worry.
Right.
I'm thinking that's what you're coming up to. And I'm tapping into what you said, but there's so much value. People avoid worry and they don't give themselves enough time. It's like journaling, right?
That's exactly.
They avoid worry like a plague. And, And so what happened when they avoid worry, they don't want to worry. They just sweep that under the carpet. But we need to worry so we can get some perspective of what we're doing and have that balance. Because that to me is compassion. It's compassion for your worry.
It's not so much that I like purposefully like try to worry about it, but what I do is I bring it back into frame. Yeah. And once I start meditating, then I can, if it does circle back around when I have cleared my mind, I'm able to then analyze that thought from a central point of view where I'm like, I make more sense of it at that point because I've calmed myself down. And if it truly is something that matters to me and it comes back around, instead of it being something that I fear or, you know, I'm overly anxious about, I'm able to ask, is the worry true? Is this really going to be that big of a deal? And then how much does it matter to me? And if it's not something that's going to further my top, you know, two or three goals that I have for myself, I let it go.
I just love what you said there, let it go. One of the biggest lessons, and when I've talked to a lot of people that I'm coaching, and the moment we get to that word, just let it go. I've got a podcast on that too. That's it there, just to let it go. Start with a worry as a practice if you want. It's not something that's easily done. But to clear the mind and, you know, to get into a clear state, yeah, we need to have that practice. Beautiful. I love what you said there. Just let it go. That's it there. Yeah. Mate, there's other things we can do. Like, we can speak to ourselves kindly. We can, once again, acknowledge that everyone's going through the same thing. And I love the way we went with the Buddha, right? You think about cravings and the desires. There are worst cases, like we can get caught up in that, you know, and then you get a little bit upset with that, and you know, it's not happening our way. And you know, we can look at mindfulness, as you mentioned, finding your present moment without judgment. You can do journaling. A lot of people do journaling. And that's another way of putting all your feelings down, experiences on paper, and then burning the damn thing and let it fly, you know. Clarify the thoughts, emotions, make it easier to practice kindness. We can also create like a compassion mantra. I'll get a compassion mantra, which means develop a mantra that resonates with you. I know you said the mentioned word earlier, I, but you can also use I am enough. Normally we're coming from a lack of abundance, so you need to program that mind. You are enough, man. Look, you got 4, 10 fingers. You got legs. I had an injury just the other day. I pulled a carb muscle and I couldn't. And my favorite thing is walking like yourself. I walk 3 kilometers a day consistently. And if I do, that is what really gives me my peace of mind. If I don't have that, well, I was not able to walk for the last 2 weeks. Like, I'm better now, healed through my mental, I've healed myself quicker. And I could have gone bad on me, on myself, and could have really felt bad and really energized negative energy. And I didn't want to do that. I said, I'm going to heal by just being compassionate to my body, you know. I deserve kindness, and I am enough. So we have to, that's the mantra we need to have. We can visualize compassion, like imagine a compassionate figure, best friend, offering you comfort, you know. You can go, well, that's visualization of, you know, giving someone a hug, or getting a hug from someone, receiving and giving, right? Beautiful thing. We can look at reduce the tendency to like compare yourself to others. Like, comparison's a killer of all joy. That is the biggest fault, man. Like, media, we're so mucked up there. We don't, you got more, I don't know how to get there, I don't have time, this and you, I don't know how to get there, you know, but I'm comparing myself and I'm going bad on myself. So now I think everyone's unique, special, right? Let's face it, it took a million sperms to, you know, only one got through, right?
Right. Yeah.
To correct you or me, right? How special are we? How unique is that? So I love saying that one. Practice gratitude. The more I'm grateful, for me, the more gratitude I get to be grateful for more. So it just, you know, that's another wonderful practice. Celebrating our wins is a cool. Everything, like, end of the day before we sleep, celebrate your wins is another way. Be, you know, have compassion like to our life. And I always seek support, man. Always seek. And one of my favorite is forgive myself because I'm not perfect, you know. No. Always forgive ourselves for all our past, all the simulations in our mind, like you might call them mind impressions of the mind that are stuck in the mind. It's a filing cabinet up there. And only the universe and God, if you're religious, will actually take this away from you, if you ask. But that's we can use some scientific approach to it and say, yeah, I'm good with that. I just forgive no matter what happens to me, no matter who, because I know there's two shades of freaking life. There's night and day. You're not going to get away from it. It's going to get dark soon, right? But it's going to become light again. So just appreciate that. And be compassionate that we get a chance to relive the whole thing. Let's move on to another question, like overcoming your barriers to self-compassion. What do you think some of your barriers are? And I'll share mine.
I don't know why this is, but a lot of times when I'm doing the mantras or... So, for example, one like if a thought that comes into my mind, like... trying to think of something that happened recently. So like yesterday, school's about to start. In my area of the United States, it's about to start next week. And so yesterday I went to my daughter's parent orientation where I get to go and check out the school, and they unleashed 400 students with two parents. So you're thinking probably about 1,200 people crammed into a hallway at one point, and everybody's just kind of running everybody over them. I can feel my hypervigilance starting to redline there.
Oh yeah,
like, people are running me over. I'm getting elbows. I'm back on the football field, aren't I? And my negative thoughts started running, not so much maybe about myself, but about others at that time. And somebody kind of gets real close to me. And, you know, as we talked earlier, they're on their phone. So they get real close and actually make contact with me as they're walking by. And I'm like back against the wall. And I chose not to be nasty, but I still didn't live up to what I kind of said, you know, well, excuse me. And I felt bad about that later. And I was like, man, you're such an asshole. And I thought, Well, I no. You know, like you at least didn't curse her out. Like I could have done so much worse. And I'm like, instead of letting that ruminate, because I'm very I'm very apt to relive very minor things and build them into bigger
Yeah.
problems than they are. I
Rigidity.
said, you weren't an asshole.
That's
We're short, but all you can do is be better next time. And that's
it.
it.
That's it. Dude, I can relate to that. I've got a similar story to that. Sometimes you go to an environment like a loud Italian restaurant, right? And the noise. And it was like you got set up. You got somehow you've ended up going somewhere, and it was a setup. We get set up, and then all of a sudden you get into that, and you've had a kind of hard day. Not hard, but okay, you had a long day. I don't like using that word hard day. It's a hard day's work from the Beatles, you know the song. But it's
Yeah.
all like it's all in your head, right? But you can say I had an enjoyable day. It was you can reframe. But one day it got me. Like I got into this restaurant, and you can see the 60-year-olds, like they're just like Italian, like blah 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 blah. It was like full on. I said, "Man, I can't handle this. It's so loud." I had to run out of the restaurant ASP. And I said, my friend at that time got upset with me because she didn't understand me. And next day I explained that I just got an anxiety attack as far as the noise and. Like it was just the setup of the environment, and I wasn't meant to be there. I would have preferred just to walk on a beach or a park or something like that, something more gentle. But yeah, that was something. I can feel that hypervigilance thing, anxiety kicking in. Man, when you feel like that, you actually your saliva tastes different. You feel dry. Your whole body feels dry. Then anxiety and cortisol levels hitting there. You need water ASP to do the brain thing. Because what happens is when we do hypervigilate or we get into this hyperspace is that we dry up in the brain. The brain stops the blood flow to the lymphatic center. What happens is that we can't come back into a neutral, auto kind of space. The soft space that we need to be like we're in now. But that's what happens with anxiety or any of that kind of thing. It just stops the blood flow to the brain. We need to re-engage instead of going to sympathetic nervous system. We got to get into the parasympathetic system right away by doing get out of that environment. It's okay to excuse yourself. You don't own
Yeah.
anything to anything, You say sorry, but fine. Then when I That was my first breakthrough that time, a good breakthrough to say that I owned up to it. I felt it. I owned up to it. I was allow myself to process the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the strategies of, overcoming the barriers of not being compassionate to ourselves by doing the FOP strategy, which is known a lot by counselors and, psychologists, is feel it, own it, process it. And you can feel that thing coming on. It's time to move. It's
Yeah.
no, it's okay. Gently remove yourself for a bit. Even that crowd, you 1,200 people's a bloody loud place. People shoving, I can dig that. You just wanted to get out of there for a little bit. You didn't have to be in that environment. You can, so I give myself permission to move out of this hole slowly.
Yeah.
Get some air, and drink water because water is man. Water just we get dehydrated when we under that cuss. That's what carry bottles of water where you'd never refuse it, That'll just help us to nurture. So I'm thinking, we can challenge negative beliefs, allow ourselves to feel like at the FOP strategy. We can learn to pause and patience. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do stuff like that. And also it's really cool we can identify our self-critical patterns that we're living with. Not jot them down, journal them, understand them.
Journaling is interesting for me. I started off like journaling almost every day. Have you ever caught yourself when you're journaling? I had to quit because I was allowing myself to sink further into some of those thoughts, even though I was journaling.
Myself
Like
permission.
I always thought of it as like a brain dump. Like you're taking everything that's rattling around in there and you put it on paper. And it, as a writer, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
However, sometimes I was allowing myself to like linger with some of those thoughts that I was putting on the page. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, man. Always, always. It's one of the beautiful things to extract, this ability to settle into it. It's a practice, right? It's a lifesaver. It takes what you're concerned with. It gives a bit of light. You're not ignoring it. You see, the more you push that thought away, the more it comes back stronger. It's just a natural thing that happens in life. So by you journaling, what's actually happening is you identify it. You know, again, it comes back to the FOP strategy. You know, you begin to feel it, you know, and you get to witness it. It just wants to be witnessed by you, you know. It's asking you. It's reminding you. It's coming back like a boomerang. Unless you witness it. And it's all about being, learning to be mindfulness, meditation, non-judgmental, being able to be the observer. That's all it is. And that's the only way you're going to FOP it. Feel it, observe it, process it. And through that, through journaling, you can take that one another level of take another level, make a list of that journal that you've written and burn it. Send it off.
Yeah,
so it's good. And so just it's something to do with the brain connection, the way you gave it permission to burn it. It disintegrates those thoughts. It's a practice. Don't burn a house down. Just find somehow we can just, you know.
Yeah. What if it's a something? So one of the things that my therapist has warned me about is I have ruminating thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about things that I'm unable to change at the moment. So for example, one thing right now, I'm actually living at my mom's house right now. This is my mom's house.
Yeah.
I don't know if the housing market's the way, if it's as bad over there as it is in the United States, but
okay.
I forget what the number is, but almost 50% of millennials don't have home.
Dude, I know my relatives, they're also with their mums and dads, at that age. So it's cool. It's cool. We can't be hard on ourselves on that. It's just economics, and we just need to be more resourceful, you know. That's all we need to do now, be more resourceful.
Yeah.
Look, come out of the trap box. If you feel like you're trapped, you need to kind of go, okay, what else is out there for me? Got to experiment and expose yourself to different ideas. And, remedial thoughts. I think we just need to accept them. Yeah. We can just accepting and that's, not fighting them, because if you accept them, right, you're not actually fighting them. You know, this too shall pass. You're allowing to process in that way. The more whatever you resist tends to persist. I love that one, right? So the more we kind of resisting those ruminating thoughts and we're pushing them away, it's like pushing things away instead of accepting, loving, shining, and compassion for those thoughts. It's okay. Michael, I'm going to end up the show, so Derek, but it's the thing is, one thing I've learned from Michael Singer is for anyone to say, I'm feeling these thoughts and I'm okay with those thoughts. I really am so okay with it. I'm ruminating, but it's not going to last forever, but I'm not going to fight it because I'm just going to, when you say okay, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with everything, right? Imagine saying that, right? Or another thought we can say, easy one. Repeat that a million times. Easy one, easy one, easy one. I won't go, but it's just saying that there's a reframing right there. Easy one, ease. Go with ease, always with ease, instead of being rigid. Engage more in abstract, But reminiscing, that's my thing. Love them if you can. Sit in disturbance, and they're not. Then this too shall pass. Just go work with that, because that works for me. That really works for me for now, and. And that just kind of, and catch yourself. And also say, that's bullshit, look at where my mind's going. What a lot of shit, Where am I going with this? This is not even true, you know?
No. Yeah.
Look, isn't that interesting where my mind can go? What an instrument, what a tool, right? What a, look where
it's. Make yourself laugh, dude.
Yeah, it's got some glitches in its system, you know, glitches. Yeah. My mind's a computer.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I give it a freaking job to do and goes to compute. It goes everywhere. If I give it happiness, it goes there. If I give it shit, it goes, it gives me more shit. So it's okay. I'm just going, it's having a shitty moment. And it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Now, if you say I'm not okay with it, instead of saying I'm okay with it, I'm going to wind up here. But yeah, it's not going to be okay. It's just going to go down the spiral of lower energy level. Before you know, you're tapping into resent, hate, hatred. Damn, you're actually going back to your past experiences and mental impressions.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah. That's what's happening. But hey, man, we just need to keep practicing, right? We need to keep practicing this sort of thing. It's not a one-day thing. It's get yourself, like you said, find your tribe, grab your vibe, that kind of thing.
Understand. Too, it's not like a straight line either that, you know, I can sit here and say, you know, I still struggle with some of those thoughts, but when I started off, I was so much worse than where I am now. It's a complete journey and you'll just get better each day.
I practice, man. I think once again, we got to practice kind of thing. Yeah. Derek, thank you for showing up for me and yourself and the world, buddy. And, You got a lot of experience in you, and I think the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, whatever your kind of dominating thoughts are, your creativity needs to be sparked, needs to be engaged. I think we can. I have a friend who's a photographer. He also goes for some stuff. Or who is it? And like we said, we got a humanity and compassion, and we're all fault in one way, but we just need to work with it. And I lost my track, and that's okay. I'm just saying, he's a photographer. Yeah, he's a photographer. Coming back. I'm too fast myself. Yeah, I'll change. He's a photographer, and he said, I do YouTube clips because I love about cameras. I'm like, oh, consider myself like a Fuji guy that just loves to talk about the new cameras that come on the market. And he does a lot of YouTube clips on that. And I said, it's not about that. It's me being creative, me engaging my creativity. That's what gives me my escapism. I love this time. It feels like I'm doing something and time just seems to fly, but I love it, you know, in my board. But
I was looking forward to this conversation all day for the same reason.
Yeah.
You know, if I've, you know, we're all the way, look, we're on the other sides of this world and we're connected here.
See, we're using technology for a better cause. So.
For a good reason. Yeah.
Man, tell me how we can get in touch with you, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to link your links. Yes, you send me some links. Right. And I'm going to post that to on the description box and people get in touch with you, because, man, you got a lot to offer. I will also post your beautiful podcast. Yeah, channel, show. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so everything I do, you can find it at showmyscars.com. And, I'm on Facebook as well, Show My Scars Podcast. That's pretty much all I ever share. You can get in touch with me. I help people produce podcasts. I help people with their YouTube videos. But most importantly, what I enjoy doing is this. Go find the show. I hope it helps. I'm documenting my journey. I'm not a professional. I'm not, a medical professional whatsoever. I am just like you out there seeking answers. So I've talked to, a formerly homeless person who now works in a nonprofit serving the homeless. I've talked to recovered addicts. I've talked to a child therapist so far. I've talked to somebody about media literacy and how that affects our mental health. So it's kind of a catch all, I can connect pretty much anything to mental health. It all affects us. So I just really look for things that offer us better perspectives or ways to take care of our mental stability.
Beautiful. Mate, thank you so much. I think
thanks for having me.
No, such a pleasure. We're going to do another one soon. There's so much to talk about in this kind of arena, and just helping each other get across the bridge, man.
Absolutely.
So only through experience that we can, you know, share ourselves and have ourselves. So, yeah. All right. Blessings to you and everyone. And may everything go with compassion and love and shine a light, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you too. Thanks, Derek. See you next time, my friend. Yep, we'll stop the recording here. Cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.